First one I'll talk about is an LP called Dreams by the artist Elephant Gym. And so this is a, it's very crossovery. So it has kind of elements from rock and from classical as well as traditional Taiwanese music. Because the trio is Taiwanese. And so they kind of incorporate these different things. A couple of the members are classically trained, and there's a solo piano piece in the middle that's very, very interesting. And so I got this just kind of thinking, like, what is this? They have Taiwanese folk music mixed with math, rock, they say. What? Where is this going to lead? And it's really interesting. They do a really good job layering. If you like Steve Reich, I would highly recommend this album. It's really, like, repetitive groove. You know, think music for 18 musicians, like that kind of thing, just with some, I think, more timbres, and it's really interesting.
Welcome to Relevant Tones. We are celebrating National Record Store Day, and I think this is the first time that all four of us have ever done a show together.
That's true, yeah.
You know, so Matt and Austin do shows together. Steven and I don't like each other, so we never do a show together. No, I'm kidding. This is the first time the four of us have done a show together, which is just, you know, it's totally great. And I love that we're all four in different cities too. So we were checking out record stores in different cities, and I'm curious to see, you know, the commonalities that we found. So who wants to share what they found first?
I can go first.
Yeah.
I'm lying.
What you got?
Yeah, so I'm out in Seattle. And it was interesting because when I had lived here, you know, during grad school, there was this record store, Sonic Boom, I love to go to all the time in Seattle. And when I moved back here, everyone said it's closed down. I said, no.
Oh, no.
And apparently it's not. So I don't know who started that rumor and why so many people have been telling me that, but it's not. It's open. So, and they have a great new music collection. They've just got, you know, rows and rows of like modern composers. Just LP is everywhere. The two records that I picked, the first one is a record that I actually found when I was an undergrad, and it was really cool to see it again. This is Morton Sputnik's The Wild Bull, which was written in 1968 on the Buchla synthesizer at NYU. This was like right off the tail of Silver Apples on the Moon. And it's this record that's loosely based on this old Sumerian poem called The Wild Bull, but, you know, not like a, you know, representation of anything in it. But it's a really, really cool piece.
It's funny because I ran into that album as well in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Definitely ran into some Morton Subotnick. Because when you chose it, I was like, oh, I definitely saw an album, but I think it was a different album. But definitely he's in some bins around the
I know
around the country.
He's in the bins. John Cage is in the bins.
Yeah. A lot of Steve Reich as well in the bins.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was surprised by how many people I didn't recognize in the bins, though. There were so many names and so many new records, so many I had to look up, and I'm like 2022, 2021 stuff.
I mean, I'd love to know more about, and maybe I should have asked, you know, I should have done some investigative journalism, you know, but like, how are the people that buy for these record stores finding these albums? Because like, there's like a friend of mine, Jeremy Beck, you know, a composer here in New York, had an album in the Brooklyn thing. I'm like, is this a consignment kind of thing? Or, you know, did he get it from the label? How did it wind up in this bin? I'm just, you know, partly curious and partly, you know, interested as a composer myself, you know, I ever release records.
I know that Sonic Boom has a deal with local artists where they will, you know, they'll buy your albums, like they'll just buy them and they'll sell them for you, you know, which is kind of cool. There's just a whole big local section.
I know like certain labels will also promise, you know, distribution of LPs if that's a desired thing that people want. So I think it's probably a mixture of both. And like I said, I remember Steve and I went to, you know, undergrad together. I remember in Eau Claire, like they had that room full of old LPs. Like, I might have been towards the end of my time there, but there was one day I was walking down the hallway, like in the middle of summer, like class wasn't in session, but someone pulled out all of those and they were just in the hallway and it just said free.
Yeah. So I took some of them because I remember a couple of those made it into my collection.
Yeah.
That's actually my biggest dream as a composer, is that I could release an album and someday it'll be in the free bin somewhere. That is, I'll know I've made it as a composer when that has happened.
Yeah, there were several professors at my undergrad that did that with CDs and with vinyls, like with LPs and CDs. They'd just be like, "All right, everybody, I've digitized this. If you want it, you can have it. I don't. I'm moving. I got another tenure track position. I'm out of here. I don't want to huck these 180 gram vinyls across the country."
Dude, they're heavy. It's, yeah.
I've moved twice with about 50 records, and I don't like it.
I'll talk a little bit about the other album I found too. So something I love about record stores is most of them have, you know, give you the opportunity to go take the record out and listen to it there before you buy it. So I did that. I found this album by Park Ji-ha, who is a Korean multi-instrumentalist and improviser. And you know, I just thought, hey, this looks like a really cool album. Let me listen to it. And it was cool. I put the headphones in. I was listening to it. And the whole album, the concept of it is exploring, you know, it's kind of this meditation on the intersection of music and light. And, you know, as I was listening to it, you know, first I closed my eyes and I was kind of imagining like this, you know, wide meadow and, you know, the light streaming through the clouds. The music feels very spacious from track to track even. And then I started to like open my eyes and the light coming through the record store, you know, it was this really cool moment in the record store, like listening to this album. I was like, oh, now I have to buy it. You know, it was cool to get so attached to it just in, you know, in that moment.
This is the mouth organ is like a Japanese or not Japanese. Is like a version of like a show, like a Japanese show.
It looks like a lot like that, but it's metallic, I'm pretty sure. And there's an image of it on, I think, on the cover of the album.
Okay.
And it looks so wild, you know. It just looks like a great doesn't even look like an instrument at first, you know. It's just wild.
Yeah.
So that's what I found. Two cool albums. One I'd loved and one I'd never heard before.
I can go next. So I admittedly only had time to stop at one place, but I know I've been there before. They're called Rattleback Records. In Andersonville, here in Chicago, and they have in the past had an excellent selection of new contemporary ambient and otherwise. They also have an excellent selection of like local artists that kind of are in the intersection of like new classical music or new experimental music and like being based in Chicago. So that's what I gravitated towards, which is probably not terribly surprising based on the previous episodes that I've done. But two artists that I discovered was Brett Nauke, N-A-U-K-E, and his work with Mirror Ensemble, which as far as my research and what I've looked up is essentially a small group of people who are all interested in synthesis and otherwise. So this album is largely based on that, just the Brett Nauke Mirror Ensemble. Thank you. So that's just a cool collaboration of different Chicago-based artists that we found there. The two tracks I really enjoyed on this album are Catch Your Breath and Rosewater. It plays a lot into the stereo field, so definitely listen to it with headphones on to get the full kind of effect. And again, not terribly surprising, it's pretty noisy, but has these wonderful subtle moments with very like intricate sensitive sounds, and then it kind of builds into something that's like otherworldly and stuff like that. So and the other local artist that I found is Jordan Reyes or Reyes. And it's actually, I got it not realizing this actually, called the Borderland EP, but it is a orchestrated soundtrack for a indie film. So, and again, largely ambient, synth wavy in a way, large emphasis on that synthwave aesthetic. But I really grasped onto this track called Touching Down. I'm actually really curious to see the movie now that it was written for, because I could definitely see how some of these tracks are very picturesque and could capture like a moment on screen like that. Thank you. So that was kind of a cool pickup. He also has a local band called Ono, O-N-O. I looked into them a little bit, and they're pretty much completely into the noise like spectrum of things with in terms of synthesis. But it sounds like there's definitely some like acoustic instruments involved with that as well, or like electronic or electric instruments like guitars and otherwise. So definitely worth a check out if you enjoy these tracks. Check out Jordan Reyes's other projects as well. I was in it's one record store, but I spent a long time there because I was just a lot of different individual like records, and I was like, you know, and unfortunately I don't think I could take them out and listen to them, which would have definitely helped, but you know, it's sometimes kind of a fun mystery to see what you get. So
yeah, the store, one of the places that I went to here in St. Paul, the guy who's there offered to take one out for me from the Soundwalk Collective. So I haven't really run into much of their music, but it's very experimental, very sound stagey, very philosophical. There's a whole like booklet that goes with the LP. It's a double LP. It's long. But it's a really interesting concept album that involves Willem Dafoe, Paul Preciado, Lyra Pramuk, Charlotte Gainsbourg, and the musician Adam. He's a German musician. So he uses spoken word, some vocals. You know, Willem Dafoe uses sections of speech from him kind of interlaced throughout the whole work. And it's a really interesting, very minimalist sound and very electronic, sine wavy kind of and it's really it's a very, like I said, conceptual, because it kind of talks, it's pretty graphic, kind of gets into some, just fair warning, it is kind of about sex and the nature of gender and how that might play out in the future. The one who did all the text or most of the text is Paul Preciado, who is a trans man, and so there's a lot of that involved in it. So you know, fair warning before you listen to it, it's not a what I would consider PG record. Just but it is really, really interesting and really I wouldn't say fun, but philosophical at the least.
Una oportunidad para la perfección, para la ruina. Nuestra historia del planeta, la evolución de las especies vivas.
Up here, in deep space, I understand you.
Bioterrorismo de género a la escala molecular. Un único punto en una cartografía de la extinción. Prótesis moleculares. Espacio multidimensional, sin huesos y sin bordes. Reencarnaros en mí. Tomad mi cuerpo como lo hicieron los extraterrestres. Para vivir en un medio ambiente extraterrestre. Sistema homeostático integrado. Un ciberrabo. Tecno sangre. Tecno esperma. Tecno ovum. Circuitomación digital. Transmitir. No tiene género. No tiene límites. La fuerza orgásmica no busca una resolución inmediata. Simplemente aspira a su propia extensión. en el espacio y en el tiempo, hacia todo lo vivo. Es imposible poseerla ni retenerla. Es inevitablemente carnal y digital. El cuerpo pansexual es el biopuerto de la fuerza orgásmica. Estamos imprimiendo nuestros órganos sexuales. La biotinta se fabrica con un agregado de células madres que luego son implantadas en el cuerpo que recibe el órgano. Los órganos son diseñados digitalmente, imprimidos e implantados en el cuerpo que los reconoce como si fueran suyos. La sexualidad es un ensamblaje técnico entre cuerpos previamente desconectados, que no pertenece a nadie en particular, que no se puede resumir a un solo cuerpo.
I'm going to preface my segment here with a photo.
This is funny. I love
that's
this.
Great. This store in Brooklyn. So some people get their own. John Cage gets his own. You know, Eliane Radigou gets her own. Terry Riley gets her own little section. It gets his own little section. Then it's avant-garde. I mean, all right, I guess that's probably where they're putting what I'm looking for. Then behind that is Goblin. Whatever the hell Goblin is. And then behind that is Ennio Morricone. And then behind that is Spooky with an exclamation point. This is a store in Brooklyn. Oh, Throbbing Gristle is in there, as you can see. It's just hilarious to me. I was at every store I went to. So I used to live in Brooklyn, and now I live way up in northern Upper Manhattan. I call it Northern Manhattan. And so I use this as an excuse to go back to Brooklyn because there's just such a high concentration of record stores. So I went to three. The first was Earwax, and that's where they labeled everything in such a hilarious way, where certain people get their own category. Other people are, you know, lumped into Spooky or avant-garde or Goblin. And why I didn't buy an album out of Goblin, I don't know. I obviously should have done that.
Is that a record label or something?
I don't know. I'm going to go back.
It's just a mood. It's just a mood. It's Goblin. That's all it is.
That's so funny. Goblin. So, you know, there's some people, like we said, that were coming up a lot. John Cage, Steve Reich. For some reason, Ben Johnston. I ran into Ben Johnston albums in several different stores. I know. We've put him on Relevant Tones so many times. I was like, okay, I'll keep digging, you know, and look for something else. So I was definitely, the first thing I'll talk about, and I might actually open the show with it, I'll see, but it's it's a really short piece called In This Broad Earth, Music of Stephen Bryant. And I'd never heard of the guy. And I go to Spotify and he's got like 30,000 followers. I'm like, all right, that's interesting. And so I listened to it, and it's a 4-minute piece for Windband. He's I think his niche is writing for Windband, you know, which I've heard is a really good niche to be in. And it's just like a super, super well-constructed, massively well-orchestrated, well-thought-out piece. It's 4 minutes long. So I thought, okay, that'd be fun. Here's a composer I've never heard of before. Got his recording album into this store in Brooklyn, not in the Goblin section, in the avant-garde section, which it's not avant-garde. So not quite accurate, but still a really cool piece. So that's by Stephen Bryant. And then again, saw like my friend Jeremy Beck, a couple people I didn't recognize. I was pretty, you know, running into Glenn Branca in a bookstore, in a record store in Brooklyn is not that big a deal because he's a huge name in New York. He's just, you know, like Laurie Anderson, or there are certain names that are just like quintessentially New York, and you know you're going to run into that. But running into his first album was a massive surprise because it's really hard to find. I couldn't believe it. So I was super, super excited about that. So I'm going to feature the first track on that one. We'll be right back. And then the last thing I found was it says Calder plays theremin. And I thought, is that Alexander Calder?
the artist.
Yeah, the sculptor. So I'm looking at it. And sure enough, that's what it is. And there's only two tracks on the album. They're each about 20 minutes long. And it's just, you know, I mean, he's not trying to show you that he can play the theremin in tune, right? He's not, that's not what he's doing, you know, because most
of theremin... microtonality. All right.
Exactly. I think he's just going with his hands and, you know, he's sculpting air and it's, and there's a byproduct that's making sound, you know.
I was gonna say, is there a mobile that comes along with the, you know, the track to watch while it's a,
I'm going to look at the album more closely and hopefully there's a link or something because there should be. Yeah. There should absolutely be.
Say, I bet there's video out there of him doing it actually.
That's all the time we have for this celebration of National Record Store Day. Hope you get out and support your local record store. Really, really important and just wonderful that they're still around. And very exciting for all four of us to go out and see what they had in their contemporary classical music bins. Relevant Tones is a production of Access Contemporary Music, a nonprofit with the mission of bringing musical creativity to life every day. Find out more at acmusic.org. On behalf of Relevant Tones, I'm Seth Bosted, super excited to have hosted this show with Austin Williams, Stephen Anthony Rawson, and Matt Dossland. Thanks so much for listening.